You hear me well?
Yeah, how are you doing?
That's good. Very good.
Nice to hear from
just
you.
Finished the sound check.
How did it all go?
Well, it was long. We have a little, Frank is a bit sick, so the singer from the first band, the opening band, is replacing him for tonight. So we had to go through quite a few songs.
Oh, I get you, man. I was just trying to... was it back in January? I saw Ghost and Volbeat had the asymptomatic case of COVID, and Ghost only performed. And so it was kind of, it's kind of like that time where, like, you never know really if there's a guarantee with concerts nowadays, really.
Yeah. It's always the same, you know. Okay, people are so cautious with COVID that they kind of stop the thing when somebody gets COVID, but even, you know, it doesn't make any difference, you know, if somebody on stage has COVID or not. You know, it's for the audience, it doesn't make any difference. But it was the time that people were so overcautious, you know.
So you guys just started a 5-week tour, and it's so far off to a rocky start, isn't it?
it's been a good start. It's been a good start. Yeah, we played like 7 shows so far in the US. We actually started already a week before in Europe and played 6 shows in there. But it's been a good run so far.
You guys are planning to perform at Louder Than Life and Aftershock. When it comes to these big festivals, I mean, I got to ask you the question, like, do you guys still get kind of nervous going on stage, or does that kind of like dwindle down as time goes on? You've been doing it for so long.
I personally don't get nervous, but some might get, you know, but I think it's a very personal thing. And so I can't say on behalf of everybody, but I don't get really nervous because I know we do our thing, and, you know, whatever happens. Like, we had bad luck and we played the Blue Ridge Festival last week, and we kind of, the PA dropped 3 times. There was some bad master audio cable or something, and, you know, all kind of can happen in the festival. But of course, sometimes you feel the pressure, especially when the sets are very short, like 40 minutes or so, and you are used to play at least 90 minutes, and so it's a little bit different energy and different structure. So sometimes you tend to kind of start to speed up things, you know. You think you're in a terrible rush all the time, but I think we I don't know. For me, I know we know what we are doing. So I'm always going to the States to have fun and not really to perform.
And I think about it too. I mean, I was listening somewhere in a conversation with you, and you were talking about how you started out at 9 years old playing the cello and performing Christmas songs for your family, and then also classical songs. I mean, what was the origin? What was the way you got to the cello itself? Like, what made you go to that specific instrument?
Yeah, you know, I'm the second oldest kid of a family of 5 children. So my older sister and older of my younger sisters, they played piano and violin. And so the music was in the house, and I just wanted to play something as well. And cello was not an accident, but, you know, it wasn't really particular. I just told my dad when he was putting the papers into the application to the music school that, okay, put cello as a first option and maybe trumpet and trombone as the next one. So for me, it was more like just, you know, to get to play. Actually, at the same time, I started to play drums. I got drums. And so it was more about the music than the instrument in the beginning for me.
And I think you started off, like you said, with classical and the Christmas tunes, and then all of a sudden you found out about Jimi Hendrix, you found out about Metallica as well. What age was that when you discovered rock and metal?
I discovered the metal on the age of 13, so especially Metallica. I was 13, but before that, like when I was 10, 11, I was listening to Jimi Hendrix, Billy Idol. I was also a big fan of Duran Duran. Oh, it is nothing to do with metal, but it's a band with extremely great songs. But yeah, when I was 13, that was the first time I heard the Master of Puppets album, and the first song actually it really got me was that Orion, the instrumental, and that was kind of my gateway into metal, and there was no return after that.
I know. How does it feel for you now to see a TV show like Stranger Things, and seeing these kids kind of like the same age as you being introduced in Metallica as well, with Master of Puppets being in the show?
I think it's great, and it just shows that it's a timeless music, and it doesn't matter, you know, in which era the music is played and it still reaches people. That's what the great music does, you know, it's timeless.
Pretty much when you started to go into rock and metal, was it kind of like you wanted to cover it on the cello originally, or how did you, like, did you look at the sheet music and discover you could play some of these Metallica songs almost classically?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the cello was the instrument I was able to play, you know, and at Sibelius Academy, when I was studying there as a teenager, we had also this group of six cellos, and we played all kind of stuff with that, and up to Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze was the heaviest what we played, and I was thinking, okay, if we can play that, why wouldn't we be able to play For Whom the Bell Tolls or something, and I went and bought this guitar sheet music tablature book for Ride the Lightning album, and all the first songs with the arrangements were from that album, because I didn't have money. I had money only to buy the one sheet music book. So we started to do it for fun. So for us, it was like, okay, we play the music we love with the instruments we can play. So simple as that. So we never expected anything out of that. It was really for our own fun, and we were super surprised when we were offered the possibility to make an album in beginning of 96, because we played Metallica first time in 93 already, 29 years ago, and even when we released the album, we were super happy with the outcome, the result, and we were thinking, if we sell 1,000 copies and get a few gigs, that's excellent, you know. And then I think that album has sold maybe 2 million copies or something like that. And the this you know, it opened a totally new gateway to music and doing things.
And was it like an extreme surreal moment to play one with Metallica on stage? I watched that clip because I was intrigued how you guys started out as a Metallica tribute band in the beginning, but you're classically playing these songs. And then I just see the footage from you, and I was like cheering you on. I was like, yeah, they did it. They got to meet Metallica and play with them on the stage. Was that a surreal moment?
Not surreal. It's great. But you know, because there had happened a lot of things prior to that. You know, we opened Metallica already in November 96. You know, that was the first time we met the guys, and we were as the opening band for the show. So that was more surreal even, you know, like putting out this album. I was like, 21-year-old kid, and you know, huge fan of Metallica, and suddenly like this, we are just opening for the guys, meeting the guys, and we've done a lot of things since then. So the 30th anniversary thing, of course, it felt surreal when they asked us to come there and to play together. But once you are in a situation, then you just actually approach it as whatever professional way of making music. You know, it was super cool, and it's like, I did suggestions. We had the rehearsals for one, and I was suggesting, hey, could we try, guys, this that nobody else plays than just the cellos and James is singing, until where the double kick drum comes in, the legendary part. And Lars was like, ah, I will go home then, you know, just joking about it. And they were open for that. And James was also like, I don't know, I don't usually sing without playing guitar and stuff. But the guys were up for it, and it was great. In a way, it was surreal, but at the same time, it was very real, and also very natural, in a way, once it was going on.
I feel like you guys like partially inspired the Metallica S&M series, the Symphony of Metallica series, because you guys brought that classical sound. They probably enjoyed it, and then said years later, hey, let's bring the symphony to all the Metallica songs.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. And actually, when there was the first premiere in 98, Metallica, they actually wanted to bring us in to Frisco. And we were there at the premiere because they felt that we have to be there. So I think it sounds like that it was very much influenced by what we did for their music.
I think
they actually made the final decision, because what I heard, that it was like Michael Kamen was suggesting that for them for a long time. The guys were like, we don't know if it's a cool thing to do. And but I think they changed out their mind after kind of hearing our interpretations of their songs.
Wow.
I don't know how much is true, but that's what I heard.
And one tour I was kind of like pleasantly surprised to see was you guys back in 2005 toured with Rammstein. And did you know like how wild their live shows were before you even went on tour with them?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was a big fan of Rammstein from pretty early stages. Yeah. But of course, it was super cool I think that's been the coolest stages I've ever been, like the most massive things. You know, with so much power and force and energy in there, and standing on the top of the risers there with the drums and the side of the drums. And then, for example, we played once in Quebec, and it was like 90,000 people and bloody ocean of people, and then this massive sound of Rammstein and standing there on their stage and playing together with them. Like it was something very special as well.
I can only imagine trying to be in front of 90,000 people. It just seems like a crazy, crazy experience. I did have a
we've done that. You know, it's crazy experience, but especially to do that with Rammstein, that's even crazier. You know, that's few levels.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, because I know, like, me and my boss and the rest of us here in East Idaho, we've always wanted the opportunity to see Rammstein live because they perform such amazing live shows. And it seems like it's a nice road trip to go finally see one, because you see these clips on Twitter of, like, is this a war scene or is this a Rammstein concert? You find out, sort of situation. And one other thing, too, is we actually have a DJ here in the building that he has two friends over there in Finland, and he was telling me that it's considered the, like, happiest country in the world or something like that.
Yeah, that's what they tell, you know. Somebody should tell the Finns as well.
That's great. when was the first time you guys came to the United States to perform and all that?
We actually came very first time. We came with the first album already in 96 or beginning in 97. So somewhere there, we spent 1 week in New York and we did some promotion and a couple of showcases. But the first time we made anything that could be called a tour was 2005. We had with the Apocalyptic album, and we had the first, it was just 1 week run. We played just the biggest key cities with the media, for media, and then we started to tour regularly. But 2005, since then, we've been coming pretty many times.
And I always have to ask too, like, when people come internationally to the United States, what did you think beforehand, and what was the reality of seeing a place like New York?
Of course, New York is magical. In first times being in America, it was surreal, that the feeling that, oh, everything looks like I've seen all my life in the TV series and movies, you know, because it felt, as a kid, you know, it felt kind of a distant world and totally different kind of world, and everything was exactly like I've seen. So that was kind of the first surprise. But maybe the biggest surprise has been also that how different the country is actually in different places and different states. So there is not just one United States of America. There's so many sides of it, and so many areas are so different from each other. So it's very, very interesting.
So is Finland essentially, like, I would say, like, what is it all ideally? Because I would love to visit Finland someday. Like, what would you recommend to do over there?
I don't know. Hard to tell. It's like, I think the biggest qualities in Finland is this kind of peaceful feeling. Finland is a super safe country, and there's a lot of space. Of course, you have in America, you have, like, in Idaho, you know, it's mainly areas people are not living there, I guess. But so we have that, and it's we have tons of, like, we have almost 200,000 lakes, even if it's a small country, and it's mainly forest. So summertime, it's beautiful. Wintertime is pretty special. Lapland, North Finland, is very unique. It's a very one of the kind. That kind of landscape doesn't really exist in many places, and we have beautiful archipelagos. For me, the best thing in Finland is the clean, very clean nature. And what else could I say? It's hard to tell, because typically, you know, Finns, we say that, okay, this is great, but I've seen that there is very similar kind of things in many other countries as well. You know, especially in the northern countries, in states and in Canada. But I think, of course, the Finnish vibe is different. Finnish mentality is very different. And of course, the main thing is the sauna. You know, the sauna culture is something really worth experience.
Wow, I'll have to check that out. Well, thank you. And lastly, I wanted to ask you, because I did notice you guys already have three singles. You have Bolero, Beethoven's Fifth, and Flight of the Bumblebee. When can we possibly expect a new album from Apocalyptica?
Not very soon. Not this year. Most likely not next year either. We are releasing. We are making some releases all the time on the way, but we are in in between phase that we started the Cell Zero tour now this year because of COVID, and even the album came January 2020. It's still kind of a fresh touring wise for us, and as we are touring so much, there's no right time or energy or motivation to make a full album, but we are starting to work. We have some plans and some options what the next album will be like, and we are just about to start to work towards that. But I would say it's going to be the full album is going to be 2014, but there's going to be a lot of different releases. There's going to be songs with the vocalists. There probably will be more some classical covers, and there will be probably more original instrumental Apocalyptica. So we are constantly working on stuff, but then in today's world, making a full album, it's a little bit different kind of thing than in the past.
It seems like it really
is. There will be.
Yeah. Like, especially when you said that pause in 2020, now I can really see that. And actually, one last thing I wanted to say here was that I do a feature called Peach's Power Ballad, and I kind of like do this like sappy little song on the air at 11:10 every day. And pretty much I played your guys' song, I Don't Care, featuring Adam from formerly from Three Days Grace. And it's actually and I have the listeners' votes on how much they like it. And you guys are actually like in the top three. And most people were like, I haven't heard that song in years. It's awesome. I'm so glad you played it. So I just wanted to let you know, East Idaho supports you all the way.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, I Don't Care. It's a great song. It's a classic song.
And then can you do one last thing for me before you go?
Yeah.
Can you just say who you are, what band, and you're listening to Peaches? My last name's Peach. I have to explain this because my last name's Peach.
Peaches.
Yeah, and Peaches on K-Bear 101.
What was K-Bear? What is K?
It's K-Bear. K and then Bear, like the animal, and then 101.
Yeah.
Perfect.
101, K-Bear 101. Hi there, this is Eka from Apocalyptica, and you are listening to Peaches on K-Bear 101. Keep on rocking.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eka. You're awesome. It's great to get the chance to talk to you today, and I wish you the best on your tour and everything.
Thank you very much for taking your time, and sorry for mixing up with the schedules, but it's been a little bit a stormy day. So,
I get you.
A lot of stuff to do. But I hopefully you will make a live show one day, you know, when we are around.
Absolutely.
The right place.
We'd love to have you.
Okay.
All righty. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a great day. Yeah.
You too.
Bye.